You're about to listen to an epic podcast, Two Dudes, One Wrench. This inaugural episode is titled Tales of Romance and Seduction in the Mojave. So, what are we doing here right now? I don't know what we're doing here right now.
I don't know, but I'd like you to inform me why I'm not at home playing Helldivers 2 right now.
Yeah, that or dinner, man. I haven't had dinner in a long time now, it seems like. I had a cheese stick and pepperoni for lunch, and it's kind of where it just went from there. But anyways, yeah. This is the first Epic podcast coming to you from the Epic Shop, and this is Two Dudes, One Wrench. So we have a Craftsman wrench.
We came up with this about 5 minutes ago.
We did. And this is a Craftsman wrench on the table, not a Snap-on wrench.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to address that. This is a wrench that most people can buy.
Yes.
Yeah. If there's still Craftsman or Sears near you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That'll last.
They did close down.
People can buy it.
Yeah.
So the topic for this podcast is, it's a little out there, but we wanted to talk about Mojave. So it's the tale of romance and seduction in the Mojave is what we're doing today. So I just told you that for the first time. You have no idea what you're doing here.
That explains a lot to what the vehicle is behind.
Yes, why we have the vehicle here behind us. But so what do we get questions about all the time? We get tons of questions. Phone calls come in. Right now it seems to be from Texas. I don't know why we're getting so many calls from Texas. But yeah, people are phoning us about.
Oh, so you mean the question I get asked the most besides where Sean's mom lives?
Yeah, that question.
But, okay, so
the second most question.
The most common question I get multiple times a week is on our Frankenstein or Frankenlift Mojave video.
Frankenlift. And when did we do that? It was like 2021.
Yeah,
it was like 2 years
ago. Actually, we did a video before that because we did one before I had this one.
That's true. Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And then there was Frankenlift 2.0, 3.0, XL, double XL, Trojan. I don't know.
A whole bunch.
A lot of stuff happened.
Even Mojaves, but no, I find a lot of people. You're right. We get a lot of calls, tons of calls about the Mojave Jeep. I think it's the most misunderstood Jeep that's out there.
Definitely the most misunderstood child of the Jeep family.
Yeah, people just don't get it. But yeah, so Mojave, maybe let's just start off and just talk about a few things about the Mojave. Like, what's different with it? Like, when you buy a Mojave, what are you getting that's different than a Rubicon or
anything? The stitches is orange.
That's true. The stitching is orange.
So the stitching is orange.
Yep.
Most important thing.
Yeah.
Now, they are basically the same price. At least they were up in Canada at the time I bought mine. There was no difference in price at all. So what you're getting is a really cool but really heavy hood.
Yes, that's true.
Because they chose to use steel. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe it was cheaper at the time. Or maybe they really wanted more downward force when you hit a bump.
Maybe.
I don't know. So you get the hood.
That's the 392 hood, right? It's similar to the 392?
Yes, it's identical to the 392 hood, except the one plastic piece.
And the plastic piece on the front of the hood does nothing, right?
It does nothing but attract attention.
Yes, that's true.
And catch bugs.
Yeah, it definitely does that.
So on the inside, we'll go to the inside. So inside, it is covered in orange stitching, which is really nice unless you don't like the color orange, which I don't like the color orange, surprisingly.
Yeah,
yet
I don't care for
I
it too much
I did put
either.
A lot of it on here. So next, the seats are more bolstered because they expect you to drive more aggressively with the Mojave.
Because
the Mojave is basically Jeep's answer to the Ford Raptor. I don't know if you ever heard of that vehicle. It was one years ago, had class action lawsuits for the frame going.
Yeah.
But they've since fixed some of that with a couple tack welds. So you get more bolstered seat in orange. It says Mojave on the seat, it doesn't confuse you.
It does say that.
It has a nice steering wheel. The steering wheel is really nice. It's a little bit thicker. It's more aggressive.
Right.
Once again, it's leading to aggressive driving. It's really sending you down that path.
Yes.
You get a textured gray dash.
Yep, that's
as opposed to a red dash. So it's pretty good. Now, onto the rest of the vehicle. You get the frame has been strengthened in multiple places.
Right.
The
what about the knuckles up front?
The knuckles are cast steel.
Right.
Not cast aluminum. And for those of you out there in the internet world, steel is stronger.
Steel is stronger.
Then they made stronger brackets for the front shocks.
Yep.
And used a bigger bolt. So they did that.
Right.
They then give you a factory version of Fox 2.5 shocks.
Right.
And a coil to match it. Now, the first generation, like this one, my coils were silver. They aren't anymore.
Right.
Why? Don't know. But the shocks and coils were designed together. That's why you get such a beautiful ride out of the factory. Now, the other thing it comes with is the speed bumps up front, the Fox speed bumps.
Oh, yes.
And that speed bump is the only reason it is taller in the front, because the speed bump has like almost 1-inch billet aluminum piece that the coil sits on be the way they mount it. So that's why automatically out of the factory, this looks more aggressive than a Rubicon.
Right.
So automatically you look at it and go, oh, that's mean. I should buy that one.
Yeah.
Maybe you should if you know what you're going to do with it.
Right. Right.
So you've got those, you've got the other parts, but what do you lose?
Yeah. What do you lose when you go to a Mojave?
So
yeah.
In a Mojave, you end up with, you get the rear locker.
Right.
You get front and rear diffs like the Rubicon, except for no front locker.
No front locker, right.
So you also get no 4-to-1 transfer case, which is probably one of the best parts about the Rubicon there is,
right.
Is that bulletproof 4-to-1 that we've even stuffed a Demon in front of multiple times, and it hasn't blown into shrapnel.
Right.
That's pretty good. It also doesn't have the sway bar electric disconnect.
Right, yeah.
And whether you love or hate that thing is the best sway bar on the market. If you have trouble with electronics, just unbolt them, throw them,
and put a knob on
And then put a knob on there that you can spin from Evo, or they even have one that operates with air.
Yeah, that's true.
Why on earth would you want to fight with manual sway bar links?
Yeah.
But they didn't need a sway bar disconnect on this because the shocks do not have any travel.
Yeah.
So if you put sway bar disconnects on a Mojave and try and do like a flex ramp, you don't get very far.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And then a part of the suspension too is maybe just talk a bit about the suspension, because the Fox suspension, again, out of the box, a Mojave is the best driving Jeep. It drives so well out of the box.
100%.
If you don't put any weight on it.
It is so comfortable.
Yeah.
The downside is if you load up a fat passenger, the whole thing goes out of whack.
Yeah.
So it is very weight driven, which is obvious, because if you have a nice, soft, comfortable ride, that automatically means you have soft coils and you have very dampened shocks. So, and I found this out when we did basically our Frankenlift, where we lifted it as best possible to maintain every little piece.
Right.
And when I mean every little piece, so we did shock extensions. Nobody made any for the rear except for Evo at the time, so we used those. Fronts, we used TerraFlex. We machined them out to fit the bigger bolt that they use on the front shocks we spoke of earlier.
Right, yeah.
We then put bump stops according to the amount we stacked up the shocks. We then added the appropriate spacers, front and rear, to space the shocks exactly the amount. We then added track bar so that we could center the axle. We added a track bar bracket to center the rear axle, among other little things.
Yeah.
And sway bar disconnects. What I tried was the Apex ones, because I still did not.
Yeah, I remember those. Those are cool.
They were neat. Yeah, they were cool. Designed by the same guy who worked to design the Falcon shocks, which is, you could tell by looking at them, that's where that came from.
Yeah.
But we took it on. I took it on a trip right away. And honestly, I was hitting the bump stop so often on gravel roads and cross ditches, it drove me insane.
And most people don't realize it only comes with plastic bumpers,
right?
So we're really talking about the weight. So the moment you even add, we've done like the Mopar bumper, where you add a winch on the front with a Mopar bumper.
Yeah. So what we did with this Mojave, we added the Mopar bumper to the front in a stubby fashion with a synthetic winch, 12,000 pound winch. So fairly lightweight combination.
And that did it.
And honestly, it was bobbing out on speed bumps and stuff.
Yeah.
Then we added the rear Rubicon bumper, so it had the steel bumper on the rear.
I remember that. Yeah.
And all in all, I did a Diamondback tunnel cover so I could put my spare on top of it, and that was it. I didn't run a rooftop tent. I didn't run a bunch of overland gear.
Yeah.
And it just did not operate well.
Yep.
It was okay around town, but spacing it did still cause extra leverage on components, so it didn't drive exactly the same.
Yeah.
So the Mojave, in my honest opinion, is a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that's the way to say it, right? So I think people buy it because it's got the cool hood, it's got the cool seats, it's got the steering wheel, it's got different wheels on it. It looks cool. Again, I kind of think it's funny that they made the whole thing to a Pentastar, but we'll get to that in a little bit later as far as engines and what happened there. But as far as, it's kind of a one-trick pony. So the moment you want to use it for overlanding. So that's the questions we get all the time. People phone and they say, hey, I'm just going to, should I buy the AEV spacer lift, or should I get the TerraFlex spacer lift, or whatever it is? And I want to put a rack on the back of my truck, or I want to put 37s on it and I want to go use it. Is, again, they're not understanding what the truck was designed for. I think it's been a failure in Jeep marketing. They just haven't got that.
And I've had the phone call so many times that I now have to stop them abruptly, or I'm going to be there for 45
minutes.
For
45 minutes.
So usually I just go, do you really like how your Jeep drives?
Yeah.
Then don't touch it.
Yeah. just leave it alone.
Just leave it alone.
If you have a Mojave, just leave it
alone.
Do you
want to put a winch on it?
Yeah.
Or a tent?
You bought the wrong vehicle.
Then you have to gut the suspension.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I paid so much for that suspension.
Well, it's hard for people, though. It's hard. Well, honestly, again, you look in Canada, the Mojave versus the Rubicon is a little bit cheaper, but you're kind of in the same price bracket. So,
but you did get a bunch of upgrades that the Rubicon didn't have.
True.
So I don't think people made it wrong. I think you just have to understand from the get-go where your game plan is going to have to be.
Yeah, what your game plan
is. You're not going to just like lift it and be done.
Yeah.
Depending on what you want to do, you may have to add some kind of a sway bar system, a front locker maybe. Now, most people, especially overlanding, you're not going to put a front locker
in. No, most people don't need
most
a front locker.
Most of the Toyotas out there only have a rear locker. They're overlanding.
Yeah,
so
they're fine.
But realistically, like...
But yeah, you're right. If you want to go and do the tent and the rack and do all the overlanding, like the camping, and you want to start doing that, you need to throw out the suspension. And that is hard for people because they spent all this money on it. I want the Fox
they
shocks.
They think they paid a premium, and that was only in the shocks and coils.
Yeah.
And it isn't. Yeah. It is like if you want to put a Mojave hood onto a, like say we did the AMW builds, and you put a Mojave hood onto something, in Canada, that's like $5,000.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah.
To get all the pieces, to have them painted to match and put them on. You're at like $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you take that into account, I got a wicked hood and a better interior, not including the frame stiffening, the stronger knuckles.
Yeah.
I don't see you losing because you just didn't use the shocks and coils. Because you buy a Rubicon, you're not using the shocks and coils.
Yeah.
You're getting rid of those.
We have lots of takeoffs here.
We have.
Yeah, so generally people come in and we usually see a Mojave kind of just resting near its bump stops, or it looks like it's squatting and it hardly has any weight on it at all. Yep. And they're wanting to add way more stuff to it. And so we're able to kind of talk to people. Again, we're the only guys that have owned one of these and do this stuff on a regular basis in our area. And so we kind of, as you said, we started with a spacer lift. We started in replacing everything. There's a reason for that. That's how we learn. And that's how we make sure we pass on the information to everybody, right? Because I don't want people to make a mistake, spend money where they don't need to. More importantly, I want them to have a safe, fun driving experience. So a lot of times people come in here and we're just like, yeah, got the suspension. So if we're gonna get rid of the suspension, take the Fox coils out, take the Fox shocks out, you know, typically what are we doing?
So our go-to suspension, we're going to do the same similar thing we do to a lot of people that come here. Now, take tents and everything out of the equation. Say you just wanted to lift it. What I'm going to do, we're going to do a TerraFlex base lift. We don't really do a lot of their big lifts you see with all the different names because a lot of those parts, most people don't utilize, so they don't need them.
That's like the RT3 or the CT3 or whatever.
So I would rather get you out there and you have extra money for gas, because it turns out it's not free.
It's not free.
So we're going to use
that. Gas is expensive.
We're going to start with the base kit. The base kit does your coils, your sway bar links, your bump stop extensions, your track bar bracket in the front. Then what are we going to do? We're going to throw the rear track bar bracket on, because the thing is a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it is.
Then we do the drop brackets on pretty much everything that ever leaves our building, unless it's a long arm conversion.
Right, yeah.
And they do totally different things than just an adjustable arm. And that's why we stick to doing three and up lifts, because it drives so much better when you can use those brackets. So we get those in, then it's your choice on shocks. Well, you bought a Mojave, you probably should buy a decent shock, not a mono tube. You should probably get an adjustable. So we look at the Falcon 3-3.
Yeah, the 3-3s.
Then we have to get a kit to press the bushings out of the front so we can fit the bushings that are meant for the size bolts the Mojave uses.
Right, yeah.
So we quote that in there. We do a Nexus steering stabilizer of some kind, because they could always use a little bit better steering on all the new Jeeps. They're better with the new steering box from 21 and up, but it could always be a little stiffer once you get bigger tires.
Right.
And then when you get to certain level of big tires, we are talking PSC Hydro Assist, or you're not turning on a rock or possibly a parking block at Costco.
What comes up a lot too is people are like, why do I have to do a 3.5-inch lift? Because that sounds so tall. I don't want to do a 3.5. Can I just do a 2.5? And typically we're saying no, because we want you to use the drop brackets, right? So maybe just talk a bit about that too, because
so
that comes up a lot.
Price the way we do it, it will cost you about $80 more to do a 2.5 than a 3.5.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And that's because a set of control arms, lower control arms to help
for the
caster, costs a little bit more than the drop brackets, but only does one thing.
Right. Yeah.
So we get you some caster, but we don't help all the angles of the control arms to be more parallel to the ground and handle better, and also have a better pinion angle.
Yep.
So that's why we try to do a 3.5. Now, we always do have some customers, because we do live in a larger metropolis type
underground,
city.
Underground parking.
Underground
is
parking is an issue out here, guys. Some people only get like 6 feet to park. And that means you can't even own a Gladiator because they're over 6 feet stock.
Right, yeah.
So that's their way of forcing us into little tiny electric cars up here.
I just tell people to get a different home.
Yes. Yeah. Usually the best upgrade for a Jeep is a new home.
You need to get a new home
garage,
with a taller garage.
If that's a possibility.
Yeah. So short garages do not.
But if that's not, we try and accommodate you the best we can.
Yeah.
So that you can still do the things you want to do with your friends.
Yeah.
All in all, the biggest problem with the Mojave is it didn't have enough power for the vehicle it wanted to compete with.
Yes, that's true.
So the Raptor, even though it doesn't have a V8 anymore for some crazy reason, you can get a regular F-150 with a 5-liter.
Yeah, with the Coyote 5. Yeah.
But you have to use the twin turbo, and it's got lots of power. Still sounds horrible.
Yeah. I love Hemi.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, so maybe before we get to that, is behind us here is a Mojave that we originally built and put together in 2021, and it's since gone on to its forever home. We'll talk a bit about that. A lot of things we get is we always do these fancy graphics, and we codename everything. Like, you have to have a name for every one of your Jeeps. And so we call this one Fluffy, and it's got a cool werewolf on it.
It's a lot easier to remember Fluffy than the VIN number.
That's true. What VIN number is that? Oh, you mean Fluffy. Yeah. So people ask us all the time, hey, where do you guys get your graphics done, those kind of things? We basically do it ourselves. So we have somebody in the Philippines who basically takes our wild ideas, and we give them a bunch of very crude drawings, and we say, hey, we'd like something to look like this. And they draw us a graphic, and we go back and forth a few times. And then we use our friends over in Maple Ridge at Pyramid Signs and Graphics to actually print it and pop it on there.
What Paul means by the Philippines. Yeah. We didn't fly over there and find a street artist.
No, we did not.
We like supporting small business since we're a small business. So we use an app called Fiverr.
Yep,
use Fiverr. And you can find somebody that will do anything above board.
Yes.
For you, whether it is some accounting or some video editing or some graphic design, you can find somebody, and we found a couple people we like to use.
Yep.
And we work well together back and forth with the little edits until it's where we want it, and then we end up probably editing the colors a bit when we get the file.
Yeah, just to match
and
the
then we
and the
have
tone.
Our yeah. one of the shops locally we like to use, Pure Image.
Yep.
Smack the graphic on some ridiculous location so kids can point at it while they drive with their parents.
People will not miss our vehicles, that's for sure. But
in the sea of Teslas.
The sea of Teslas that are out here right now.
It's a lot easier to find this in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, so this is a Fluffy, a 2021 Mojave in Stingray. We love that color.
It's a great color.
Yeah, and so we kind of went through, as we said, the suspensions, those kind of things. And then we kind of, as you started alluding to, is the engine, as the Pentastar is so lackluster. And I think that's what's really hurting the Gladiator in general right now.
It needs more power.
It needs more power. And so we ended up going to a supercharger setup. And so that was fun. So maybe let's talk a bit about what we did there. Because we get a lot of questions because we have some old videos there from 3 years ago, 2 years, 3 years ago, that show us putting the supercharger on. And people are always asking us, I'm going to do a supercharger. Is that a good idea? And our answer is no, don't do it. And so again, you don't know until you try.
So realistically, we went to a company that we knew everyone was using back in the JK days. Because those days were different.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough research out and form information at the time for us to get the proper information to make our decision. So, but all said and done, the engine that's under the hood of this vehicle is not the same engine that's under the hood of a JK.
No. Even though it's a 3.6 liter Pentastar.
3.6 Pentastar.
It's quite a bit different. Metallurgy is different.
Metallurgy is different. The oil it takes is different.
Yeah.
The thinness of things is different, all to make it lighter and more fuel efficient.
Correct. Yeah.
Which also makes it not want to handle boost really well.
Yeah.
So, learn from my experiences that lasted a year.
That was an experience. It was driving right when we had it in there for what? Maybe a couple days, a month we had it driving right? Because it kind of depends on...
It was about a couple weeks at a time.
Yeah, like it depends on your elevation you're at.
It did not like elevation.
Did not like elevation at all. And this is where we live. We live in British Columbia. We have mountains everywhere. So every time we drive up a mountain, it would...
When I go to the Starbucks drive-thru, I have to change like 1,000 feet of elevation.
That's true. That's true.
Like it's crazy out here. It's kind of like Colorado, but we have an ocean.
Yes.
So,
oh man. But you know, the number one thing I loved about it is the sound. I love scaring the crap out of people.
Super cool. Oh, and the dump valve
was amazing.
Wild.
Oh, it was so amazing.
Like, I don't think it was literally like a Dyson on reverse.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. I just love scaring people with it. And it just sounded so cool. And it had a lot of pull. Like,
and
it was fun to drive.
It was fun to drive when it was happy.
Yeah. And then kind of the nail in the coffin after going through all the problems and tuning and stuff like that.
A couple camshafts happened too.
Yeah, at 8 upper cams. But again, that happens on pentastars anyways.
Yes, regular pentastars have a tendency to chew up the camshafts.
Chew up cams.
But you wouldn't see it as quickly.
Usually you see it 80,000 kilometers. That's what, about 50-something thousand miles. But we were seeing it pretty damn quick after we put it in there.
We were just below or above 20,000.
Yeah, so we were seeing it right away. So we replaced cams.
Kilometers.
Yeah, kilometers.
Just Google it. It'll change into miles.
Yeah. Yeah, so once we did that, I think the ending was is that we sent you and Sean down to Anza Borrego in California, and we had also done a supercharger, even though we said, Sean, please don't do this. Please don't make us do this. But we did. Like, we ended up putting a supercharger in his, and you guys went on a trip to Anza Borrego, and maybe talk a bit about how that went, because on the way back, it was
Well, I did a lot of service work in an O'Reilly's parking lot. They were very helpful at the time. Yeah. They let me dispose of all the fluids I took out.
Oh, that's nice.
And they didn't mind me servicing in the parking lot two vehicles at the same time while Sean watched me.
Oh,
by all means, make friends with a mechanic. It'll save you a lot. Don't try and pay him in beer.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
If he's a good mechanic, he has money to buy beer. Yeah. He doesn't need to be handed beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Donuts, though, help.
Oh,
donuts do help.
Oh, my gosh. So you're in O'Reilly's parking lot. Because, again, people don't understand. You also have to replace the supercharger oil.
Yes.
Every hop.
So, I forget what it was, but there was a break-in period, too. So
right.
Sean was in a bit of break-in period, and I was already past that.
Yeah.
But supercharger oil is, it's not easy to get to in a parking lot to change it. But we still managed to do all that and do oil changes, and the oil didn't smell all that great. And, but all in all, eventually, someone knocked at the door of the engine block.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a bit of a...
a knocking sound. When you came back, I remember that too. It's like he went nuts,
like,
going over the entire engine trying to find out exactly where this noise is coming from.
I did everything I could to look for that noise. Yeah. I had the transmission out.
Yeah, we thought
and
it was
why
a
did I have it up? Yeah. Because my buddy, who is also now my lead tech here, thought it might be a torque converter.
Yes.
And man, everything we used, every stethoscope, audio recording, made it sound like it came right from the torque converter.
Right, yeah.
So we sent the torque converter for inspection. We were so frustrated at the time, we didn't bother to realize that sending the torque converter for the inspection, the only way to inspect a torque converter is cut it in half.
Yeah, you got
to
cut it in half. It's like, okay, well, it's fine. Well,
and
that's great.
They don't just put it back together.
Yeah, to buy another.
So we had to buy another $1,000 torque converter. So that didn't work. So we put it all back together. And then we're like, we put it all back together. The noise did not change at all.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about being defeated. This was a constant defeat that just kept happening.
Yeah.
So the next night, we pulled the transmission out again by an inch.
Yes. Yeah.
And we ran it not connected to the transmission, which was entertaining in itself.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that's when we could pinpoint the noise was in the lower block, because we didn't have a transmission connected.
Right.
We didn't have a belt on.
Yeah.
And we knew exactly where it was coming from. So that caught a whole bunch of different issues. We had a couple things we could do.
Well, we basically, at that point, we had an awesome truck with an engine that was totally messed up.
That we didn't get to use the truck much for
a
year.
We didn't get to use it much, but we had a lot of fun with it. Again, the supercharger was awesome, but at the end of the day, these engines cannot take those It doesn't matter what manufacturer you're talking about.
The manufacturer has nothing to do with it.
You're putting...
It's just not built strong anymore.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that is what it is. So we went to our friend, Rich Hamlin at the time, went to our friend and just said, we have a proposition for you.
Well, actually, before that, we had to decide what we had to do. We had multiple choices.
Yeah.
We could A, order a long block and put an engine in the darn thing.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was on the table. And then it was like...
I just wasn't going to do that, but I remember.
But we couldn't put it back to stock because we had removed a bunch of stuff with the supercharger install.
Yeah,
and it would have cost a couple thousand to buy those things
to put
back.
It back. Put it back,
So, and then I stumbled upon one of the... I forget which influencer told me, but America's Most Wanted.
Yes,
always has engines for sale for like $1,500 or something.
Yeah.
Because they always pull them out of new vehicles.
I remember
that.
So I'm
like, okay, so we can put an engine in for $1,500. That's not insane.
No, it's not crazy.
But it was $1,500 American, and then had to make it here.
Yeah.
And then it came down to, I just asked them right out. I'm like, can I just buy a 392 from you?
Yes.
And they said, no. And I'm like, what does it take to buy a 392 from you?
Yeah.
Well, you got to buy three or four engines.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And come down for training before we'll send those engines to you.
Yes.
I was like, huh.
Huh. So thus, we called up Rich and said, so, Rich, we have a proposition for you.
In passing, I told Rich this. And then that led to six phone calls a night while he was revved up. And so we were off to the races.
Yeah.
I got sent down to Michigan. Beautiful facility down there. Got to basically, I got to help them install an engine for free labor. So that was neat.
You did a Hellcat, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a Hellcat into a Gladiator.
And like
it ran
days.
Before I left in 5 days. Yeah, just 5 days. Banged through it.
Yep.
Great team of guys.
Yep.
Lots of good food around there. Some good barbecue joints.
Yep.
I remember. I grew up across from Michigan. So came back. Engine arrived.
Yeah.
Truck went under the knife.
Yeah, truck went under the knife.
And yes, we changed it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've changed so many. We've done them in snow in the parking lot.
Yeah.
More Canadian than anybody.
Realize that we're just a small shop here, but.
It's not the size of the shop, Paul. It's how you use it.
It's how you use it. That is correct.
Like, have you not understand how this works?
I should know that by now. But yes. Okay. So putting the 392 in there. And going through that whole process the first time, it actually went pretty straightforward.
It was pretty much bang on perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we had a hiccup.
Yeah.
The only hiccup was I think, waiting to get the PCM back to start it.
Yeah, so you got to send the PCM back to them, the original one.
That was the longest. Everything went in and was done with, like, a flawless, which is a major undertaking to begin with, and we had no problem with it.
Yeah.
And then it started, and it was mean.
Yeah, it was mean.
But then we had already, my passion for this Mojave had moved on.
What's your passion, sir?
besides donuts and Helldivers 2, music.
Music.
But the year was really rough to not have a vehicle that you could go and do all the fun things, go wheeling with Sean, go to the States, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I had a bad taste in my mouth for the vehicle. I could have put any engine this I wanted. I wouldn't have kept it because it's just memories. It's like a bad ex-wife that just had to go. I don't know if any of you had a practice marriage, but
you had.
I did. And
oh man,
it haunts my days. But
I'm still on my practice marriage 20 plus years later.
Do you want me to give you the name of a lawyer?
No, it's all good.
Okay. Man.
I love my wife. Okay. So doing that.
It had to go.
It had to go. And we moved on to the next thing as we do here, right? Because generally, we keep our vehicles about a year, generally.
But let's be honest. Yeah. People were so excited.
Oh, they were. Yeah, they
this
were.
This sold before it was set onto its tires.
That's true.
Off the hoist.
That's true. Before we finished the engine conversion, it was
the guy
sold.
Behind this camera right now.
Yeah.
Had to have it.
He just had to have it.
And we just did everything we could to make that happen.
Yep.
And he liked it so much, he kept the wicked graphic.
I know.
So that's awesome.
I appreciate that. No, it looks really cool.
So he's had a blast with this vehicle.
It's had a wheel change too, hasn't it? I think we've changed wheels on it, tires, no?
Oh, no, I changed wheels three times before he got it.
Right.
So these are still the same wheels.
Yeah.
I think he's due for some tires due to horsepower.
I remember when we got this one done, because this was kind of the base for all our marketing to get into these, because we've now done 15 of these, right, in 1 year. And so just was the first one to kind of get going. I remember our friend Jordan Herwig. We had Jordan.
Yep.
We said, hey, we need an amazing burnout video of this thing.
Yeah, because we're rock crawlers. We're not
so he,
burnout enthusiasts.
He's the one that's, you know, you probably see that clip that's on our website and a lot of our videos is where basically this thing is doing a full-on smoke and burnout, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's Jordan driving it with a huge smile on his face. So,
and this is the least powerful version.
Yeah, it's the least powerful one. Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the one I tell everyone they should get.
Oh, for sure.
It's reliable to a T.
Yeah.
Like the higher you go, the more money you spend and the more gas you throw.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, but it is a phenomenal vehicle. And I miss driving it because it was comfortable to drive. The suspension we did end up putting in it.
Right. Yeah.
Which we'll quickly run down that. I did every piece TerraFlex owned.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was one of the first people to get the extended travel system they debuted at Easter Jeep that year.
Yeah.
So
amazing rear travel. It's
like 17, 18 inches of rear
it's
travel.
Just insane it's rear travel.
So it's got all the control arms,
three
and a half inch coils front and rear, plus we spaced the rear a bit because to compensate for the Mojave speed bump.
Yeah.
Then obviously the fully adjustable Falcon shocks, steering stabilizers, all the upgraded kits, the track bars I think are done.
Yep.
Yeah, everything. And then it has a drive shaft that was done with the
1350 drive shaft.
The V8 put in. In there.
Yeah.
But all in all, the thing just goes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to drive.
37s, which is my go-to size. I don't believe you need a bigger size than that. Yeah. I've never not got where I'm going, no matter who I'm with.
Yeah.
So it's great. And depending on the vehicle, not this one, you can fit them under the bed.
Yes, you can.
So that helps because it takes up a lot of room in this tiny little, 3'5" bed?
Yeah. And so just being fully clear with people on this Jeep, it's got a lot of kilometers on it. This thing has seen a lot of action. And so what's broken on it right now is we've got catalytic converters.
Oh,
right?
Yes, the catalytic converters. Yeah. It had so much fun off-road, it shook the cat to death.
shook him out.
Just one of them, though. So it still has one. But we have new ones to go in, so we're going to get that
fixed.
Yeah,
they replaced them under warranty and sent them to us, so we just have to get them in there.
The factory steering, after, it's probably over 60,000 kilometers on this now.
Yeah.
It's finally tired.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of off-road miles or aggressively driven miles.
Yeah.
So it's going to get some steering upgrades and some other pieces to just, maintenance, just getting some things fixed. Yeah.
And the owner of this vehicle drove it so insane and was just laughing with his hair on fire that he blew apart the front.
Well, it didn't blew apart. It snapped in two. It's like a wishbone.
It's like a wishbone.
And that was the end of that.
I hope he made a wish before it happened.
He is the only person I know.
Yeah, I know. You see personally, it online all the time, people breaking where the front axle disconnect is. That's where it breaks. But I don't know, man. He's the only person I know.
You don't see it all the time, though.
No.
It's not that often.
No.
But you put enough horsepower into a cross ditch and things happen.
That's true.
Like, everyone gets to have fun.
I don't know. Full disclosure, he sent me the photo when it happened, and I just laughed.
Full disclosure, any photo you send me of broken pieces, I start off laughing.
That's true. I start laughing. I'm like, how did that happen? Because there's a story behind that.
Yeah.
But
because I assume somebody heard that when I broke the diff out of the Ram on the hill in the desert, they were laughing.
Yes.
I was laughing.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It was
I'm just happy it wasn't a hotter day.
I just when things break, I think that's just an opportunity to learn. But, we're smart.
Spoken like a true, teacher or minister.
And the thing is, I've always got you, so you're always with me. Yeah. But
except tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, except tracks. He was not on for the tracks. But
I voted no.
He voted no for the tracks on the Ram. But that's for
nobody listened.
That's for another talk, another day. But doing these kind of vehicles, again, Mojaves, we see them all the time now. We're basically swapping suspensions completely. Everybody's super happy. They can go do their overlanding.
When they understand. When we explain it, we show them, it completely makes sense. And it does. Like, how do you think it's that soft? It's because it doesn't deal with any weight. It's being light. It's like, it's not going to work if you put anything on it.
Yeah.
And if they have done stuff and they're like, well, it's doing this, and you explain to them why, they're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, how much for a lift?
Yeah.
And that's usually just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been doing this. We do this quite a bit because, again, the Mojave, at least up here in Canada, is pretty damn popular. Like, there's quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Everybody,
it's a beautiful looking truck. Lots.
It's a great truck.
I would own another one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just awesome. So, but, so that's, that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today is our first podcast.
Just to put all that to bed.
Yeah.
Feel free, if you still have questions on Mojaves and what you should do to it, give me a shout. I spent half of my time doing it, and I still haven't started that 900 number.
No, you haven't.
Yeah. Those of you millennials, that's when you could call and talk to fancy women at night and be charged per minute.
Be charged per minute. We should start something like that. Do you have a Mojave? Press 5.
Yeah, press 5, and you're just going to go straight to
Enter
that.
Enter your credit card here.
But we don't mind. We'll gladly set you up.
Yeah.
Over half our customer base that we work on in the shop comes from the States.
Yeah. And most people don't know, because again, this will be seen and listened to by people in the States, because we're pretty well known in the United States, is we're pretty much on the border. We're like 15 minutes from the Canada border, Canadian border.
If you're in Blaine, Washington, you could hit me with a rock.
You could, pretty much, yeah.
Don't hit me with a rock, please. It's just not nice.
But yeah, so that's essentially people come up here, and so we've had so many people come up. We've had Texas, North Carolina, Idaho, Montana.
Lots of the states surrounding Washington.
Yeah, like you get your Washington, Oregon,
kind
of California on the West Coast. But yeah, we have a lot of people come up here, get their vehicles modified, drive them back across the line. We'll give you all the paperwork, even stuff to get the tax back.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to pay Canadian tax.
You save money because Canadian dollars worth nothing.
Yeah, so we're doing and exactly for that is our Canadian dollar so depressed right now that American cash is worth quite a bit. So so that's generally, hit us up, call us, whatever you need to do to talk about it. We love talking Jeeps. It's the one thing we do here. So that's our episode for episode number one. Number two, put in the comments below, or just let us know, or hit us up on what you think the next podcast should
means,
be about.
If you want to let us know what you'd like us to talk about, or if your mom has some suggestions, or wife or girlfriend, I don't mind. I'm not an ageist person.
No, we don't mind, man. We're for all ages.
I'll flirt with anyone.
We're for all ages. It's all good. But so I think we'll wrap it up there. Just wanted to thank Beardo, or Stefan, behind the camera. He's an amazing friend of ours who put this all together with these fancy microphones.
Don't worry. We'll get him set up on a computer so he can Google shit as we need it.
Yeah, we'll get exactly. Like, we'll do that kind of thing. That's like the next phase. We'll be calling things out to him, whatever. But yeah,
we've got plans, guys.
Yeah, but huge thanks to him for purchasing this truck, keeping it in the family. I really appreciate that. It's been a lot of fun. We've done a lot of learning on this thing, being able to see it reach high kilometers and go on adventures. So that's great. And then thanks for doing all the microphones and the lighting and everything in here. Just awesome. Couldn't have done it without you. So thanks, bud. So I think that's we'll call it a wrap. But
that works.
Very good. Good talking to you, man.
Helldivers.
Let's do it. You have been listening to Tales of Romance and Seduction in the Mojave. We're two dudes, one wrench. If you'd like to support our team, check out our website at epic-4wd.com, where you can purchase products for your Jeep Wrangler or Gladiator, lovingly crafted by Canadians with above-average intelligence. Stay tuned for more tales to come. And most of all, tell your mom we say hi. And thanks for the cookies. We really appreciate it.